Right now, we're in a time where the Holy Spirit's emphasizing growing up. And, you know, a lot of the words are dealing with that. I think we recognize in our own life that beyond the boundaries of religion and what we think and our doctrines and all of that, our rituals, there's a cry in our heart to grow up into Him, to mature. And when we talk about growing up, I think we need to understand what that really means. Growing up spiritually is more than simply self-improvement. It really is a different realm. If you think of the two trees in the garden of good and evil, the tree of good and evil and the tree of life, the tree of good and evil very much exists within our soul. Whenever we think of maturity, we're thinking in terms of moving away from the bad, the evil, into the good. That's a good journey to make. That's a moral journey. But that's not the spiritual journey. Spiritual growth is partaking of the tree of life, partaking of God, partaking of the Spirit of Christ. If we're doing that, then we're certainly going to be improving morally as people. But the whole emphasis is on another realm. It's on the realm of spirit. So when we think of growth, I think in our soul, we're naturally convicted and maybe shamed and looking at all the areas of our life that aren't mature and how are we going to fix this and fix that. Don't get into all that struggle and striving. Spiritual growth is opening up to the realm, God's realm of spirit, and learning to drink in and experience that realm. It's a very freeing and liberating thought when you think of growing up spiritually as simply experiencing more of the one you love the most, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not trying to beat down your flesh and change what you don't like. So we're in this time now where, as the Spirit of God is coming forth and this day of Spirit is dawning, the more we can open up to His presence, there's going to be an accelerated growing up and maturity taking place in the body of Christ. As it says in Ephesians, we're to grow up into the head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that upward pull of the Holy Spirit for that purpose. And I know in our hearts we're responding with a very loud amen and yes to that. We feel His Spirit calling us, and all we have to do is, I think, basically is humble our hearts enough to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit lead my life and lead me into You. So this morning, let's look at this whole aspect of breaking bonds. And immediately when that is spoken, you think of words you've received in the past, and you think of unhealthy relationships, and breaking bonds means breaking off with people that are hurting you or are holding you back. And I don't need to go into that this morning. Obviously, if a relationship is not working, is not good for you, and is unhealthy for you, you probably wouldn't know what to do about it. But breaking bonds also applies to our good relationships. Relationships that God has put together. Our friends, our family, our marriages. Relationships that have God's blessing on them. Breaking bonds is not the end of those relationships. It's a breaking of a certain pattern of relating and thinking where the relationship can move into more of a spiritual plane and into a healthier level. In the past, when I think different church systems have been caught in this, where couples in a marriage would be in great conflict, and the awareness would be, well, this isn't working out. This is not the relationship isn't right. And unfortunately, a lot of times it led to a divorce where people had just broken up and they had to find their true soulmate. And that's an apt description. I think the whole activity was very soulish. But really, I think in the spirit, what was happening is relationships get stuck. And when there's a bond or attachment, from that bond, a certain level of thinking and mindset is generated. So because two people are bonded, they're locked into certain patterns of thought, and those can become negative and two people get stuck. Well, you don't need to break up a marriage. You simply need to see the bond broken in that marriage where the thinking changes and the two people can think about each other in a new way, have their minds renewed. And then the relationship is elevated into more of a plane of spirit. And unfortunately, with many churches, that didn't happen. In places where this did happen, relationships were broken up that didn't need to be broken up. People didn't understand what the Spirit was trying to do. This happens with families, with children, not just marital conflict, but also with children. Those wonderful teenage years, where there's a bond between a parent and a child, and all of a sudden that bond is not working very well. There's a lot of resistance, a lot of conflict. And in our soul, we're always looking to attach the blame as to why it's happening. Well, the reason there's conflict is my son, my daughter is acting out and this, that, and the other thing, which may be very true. But the reason there's conflict is not simply because there's wrong behavior. There's a wrong way of relating and thinking about that person. And so what God is, I think, does with parents and children, it's not just the children that need to change. It's the parents' way of thinking about their children as they grow and mature. So even with your children, bonds need to be broken so your thinking can be liberated to see your child more through God's eyes. That's often not emphasized, is it? We emphasize parenting and how to get our kids to do the right thing. And we got to realize as parents, it's a mixed bag. Sure, we want the right things for our kids, but also our own ego gets involved with it. Unfulfilled dreams in our own life. A lot of times parents will try to live vicariously through their children. A lot of ego that's often not seen. So God will work by the Spirit to break bonds where thinking can change and relationships can be healthier. And they only get healthier the more that God is involved in the relationship. The more of His Spirit that can be involved in our relationships, the healthier they'll be and the more growth we're going to see from them. Breaking bonds. Let's look at a couple of examples. One with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham received this promise of Isaac, very bonded to his son. Very bonded also because God had promised him the son, and it took great faith, and God fulfilled that promise. Then God says, take your son up. And Abraham is facing this dilemma. God gave me this gift. Now is he going to take him away? Well, the whole point of that story was never for Isaac to die. But I'll guarantee you that Abraham's thinking changed in process. His bond with Isaac probably changed a little bit, don't you think? From a, this is my son, to, wait a minute, Isaac is your son, God, and so am I. That possessiveness certainly changed. So what was happening with Abraham in that very difficult ordeal that he went through? I think bonds were being broken so that more of God could be in the picture and in that relationship. And it went on to greater blessing. Jesus and the disciples had a bond with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now that bond produced a certain way of thinking, didn't it? Unfortunately, the way of thinking for the disciples that it produced couldn't accommodate his destiny, which was to go to the cross and die for us. They thought about him as their hero, their king. He was going to do this, that, and the other. So Jesus looked at that and said, and basically was saying to them, hey, this bond's got to break. This bond that you have with me as a physical human being has got to break in order for you to think differently about me and see who I really am. How did he say it? He didn't say it in those words. He said, hey, guys, I've got to get out of here. I've got to leave. The bond's got to be over, but it's got to break on this level. If I don't go, then you won't receive the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth. Now tell me, when the Holy Spirit came after the day of Pentecost, didn't the disciples know who Jesus Christ was in a much clearer way than they did all the time they walked with him for 3.5 years? You see, the bond they had broke. Their thinking changed where they could come into a revelation of his Spirit within. And the relationship went on to a whole new level. So that's how the Holy Spirit works within us. Breaking bonds, not because we're tied in with the wrong people. That's a whole other area that you don't need a whole lot of word on, do you? But we need help with the good relationships we have and how the Spirit works to break bonds, to change our thinking so that our relationships can be elevated to another plane where God's Spirit is more involved. If we look at Mark 8, you don't have to turn there now, Jesus healed a blind man. And It says when he touched his eyes, I think this is one of the ones he put mud on his eyes. I'm not too sure. You can read about it later, Mark 8 somewhere. Somewhere in the Bible. He says, what do you see? And the man said, I see men as trees walking. And then Jesus touched him that second time. And the man said, now I see clearly. I think we're living in these times right now. We've had that touch of the Spirit in our lives. Yet things, you know, if you look at your Christian journey, it starts with that spiritual awakening, purely of God. And then very quickly settles into the soulish level of church life and religion, doesn't it? Well, that's what happens. We get mired in this soulish level, and religion thrives in the level of soul. And it's all about our striving, what we can do for God, and trying to get back to God, and a lot of activity, a lot of frustration. But as long as we're on that level, we look at people and we don't see them clearly. It's like that we've had a touch from the Lord, but we're not on that spiritual plane to really see who they are. We're in the time of that second touch, where God is quickening us from the soulish plane being dominant to where His Spirit, His realm, His kingdom, heaven, however you want to describe it, will have that be in that plane of revelation. And then we will see people clearly. What does that mean? See them the way God sees them. Knowing one another no longer after the flesh, but seeing the new creature that's there. It's that touch of His Spirit. And that touch has to do with breaking bonds. Even though we don't see clearly, we can be stubborn in our will saying, well, this is how I think about this person. We want to hold on to it. Well, if we want to hold on to it, God will let us. And we're going to be embroiled in whatever conflict that level of thinking brings. There are people that, you know, you look at and you just have trouble with, right? Don't look at me that way. Other people you have trouble with. And you think, you feel guilty about it. And you want to treat them differently. But you see, as long as the bond is there the way it's been, that bond will generate the same mindset. So when that person does whatever behavior irks you, you want to do it differently, but you're going to find that same negative critical response rolling out. We need that spiritual quickening, the breaking of the bond, to where our thinking is freed and we can have more of God's spiritual input and we can see that person. Their behavior doesn't have to change for this to happen. We can see them in a new way through new eyes. And then that releases the love. Breaking bonds. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why this is so important for the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 22. It is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Why? That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Okay, here we have a picture of the body of Christ. It's meant to be a living organism expressing fully the life of God. Instead, we see a fragmented body. Let's look at the last 2,000 years. Church organizations, systems, trying to capture this mystery. And let's face it, it hasn't worked yet the way the Word of God is describing. Instead of oneness where the Lord can be seen, we have all manner of divisions. Again, that's a result of that soul level of relating. And when there's division, the body is not functioning the way God has called it to. It means we're not all connected to the head. But here Paul's describing a problem. He's talking about the members that we deem less honor on, unseemly members. What does that mean? Now, that can mean a wide range of things. But I think one aspect of that would be people that you think are less spiritual. for whatever reason. What does it say here? Those are the ones you give more honor to. Why? Because God gives more honor to them. Now here, get this picture of the body. We're trying to relate to one another, and God is looking at human weakness, the things we don't want to look at. And you know, this can be people, or sometimes in relationships, a person can be seemly and then unseemly. I'm talking about marriage, aren't I? By any relationship, but that, right? Partner can be right in there, spiritual, and then, you know, not too long down the road, there can be conflicts, and you look at that same person and you see something different. But we haven't learned how to relate to human weakness or the things we don't like. We're bonded in a wrong way, where we look at the weakness in the body and we relate with criticism and judgment. That is less spiritual. And maybe God would look down and say, hey, you're right, that may be less spiritual. Here's what I do about it. I put more honor there. And while God is bestowing honor on human weakness, we're bestowing criticism. And we wonder why the body of Christ does not experience the oneness and vitality and health that's meant to. We haven't been on the same page with God. We're bonded in a way where we think negatively of that which we consider less spiritual. And often that's another problem, when we consider others less spiritual. That's a whole self-righteous stance that has nothing to do with God. But the bonds need to break to where we can think differently. And we can look at the things in people we don't like, or even people we have a hard time with. And instead of judging with criticism, if our thinking is free, we're going to find a way to bestow more honor on that person. And when that takes place in the body, when weakness is not a cause for rejection and ostracizing people, but a cause for care and concern and greater love and grace, instead of division, we're going to have the oneness that is a reality in Christ. And the body of Christ is going to be healthy. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. You know how this word started? John gave me a poster, a photo to take in. I'm going to have it framed. It's going to be put in the back of the church. John, how did that go? If
it says, it is not possible to get any closer to God than you are to the man that you love the least.
That started my trouble this week, by the way. I took that in and I...
You're not alone.
And this word just started building out of that. But 1 John 4:20, if one says, I love God but hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. Yeah, let's can you have a black marker? We're going to take that one out. That's too... Our love for God, that's what it's all about. But what it's saying is, if we cannot love our brother whom we do see, then God is saying, your love's not valid to me. Now, the problem is how we see that brother or sister, isn't it? What do we see when we look at him? Now, generally, when this verse is read, it creates a lot of guilt. Oh, my gosh. I'll try better. I'll try harder. Please don't. Your soul can't produce this, okay? It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of letting the bond break where we see that brother and sister differently. And if we can see him the way God wants us to see him, we see beyond the bad behavior, we see beyond the personality traits, then it releases the love and compassion. And as we practice this love one to another, if we can love one another whom we do see, what is it saying? God is saying, you are loving me. Why? Because he indwells us. He's not off in some planet somewhere. God lives in his people. And when we show love to one another, we're showing love to him because that's his home. I think we're going to learn to relate to conflict differently. So too often a conflict in a relationship is all about who wins and who loses. Think about it. And that's where the soul is generally at with a conflict. Okay, I've got to win this battle, or I'm going to lose this battle. But often, conflict in a relationship is not about this soulish striving for our ego to be justified or proving ourselves right. Often in a conflict, the Holy Spirit is trying to awaken us to a humbling and a letting go of that stubborn will and a willingness to open up and say, Lord, what do you want me to see here? The conflict is designed to break the bond that is limiting in our thinking, where we can see that person in a new way and experience Christ in them in a greater way. I'm not saying all relationship conflict is about this. I'm saying certainly some of it is, and it's very difficult to hear the voice of the Spirit when this is happening. When a husband and wife, and I can look at my own disagreements with my wife, when we're in conflict, my first thought is not about, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Right? Think about your own. We have knee-jerk reactions to the conflict. A person can just say something a certain way, especially if you've been with a person a long time. Just the way they say something, all of a sudden, you feel you're in battle and you've got to prove something and who's right here. So it really takes an effort to say, Lord, I know what I'm conditioned to do on a soul level, but I want to hear the Holy Spirit. I'm in this battle here, and this battle's not about who wins. If I win it on a soulish level, we both lose anyway, if we're not hearing what you're speaking. Something in this bond needs to change. And when we can listen to the Holy Spirit by his power, we can let go of that our will. The bond can break, our thinking can be freed, and beyond the conflict, we can find something of the Spirit in that person that we didn't know about or didn't experience before. One last thing. This really has very much to do with our knowing God, our experiencing God. And you think about God's nature, I'm kind of conflicted in my thinking about this, because God is love by definition. That's who he is. It's not that God has love. God is love. He is unconditional love. Yet there is a barrier we have within our own soul, our mind, our emotions, our will, that blocks us from experiencing him, right? I mean, unconditional love should be the most welcoming thing in the universe as far as drawing us in. Why is it so difficult to meet God in the Spirit? Well, the Israelites told Moses, we don't want to go up on the mountain. No man can see God and live. And there's some truth to that. God is love, but he's also a fire. And the problem is, we can't be exposed to who he is as a person without something in us dying. Something of our ego. Something of our soul nature. That resistance, that wall, is going to go down. It's going to die being exposed to him. So as bonds break, something in our soul nature dies. There's the work of the cross. We taste of it. And the ultimate result of letting the Spirit work with us in relationships is we experience more of the very life of God, more exposure to who he is. When the Father related to the human race. Now, again, why is this so difficult in relating to the God of love? Because the love that God is greater than the love that we can generate on a human level. Human soulish love tends to be very conditional. That's not the way God is it? He's unconditional. He looked down at the human race, and you talk about looking at something that's disagreeable. He saw what he'd created and the rebellion. He saw the sin, the evil, the resistance. And instead of turning away and saying, I'm going to start over somewhere else, which is how we would think about things, he said, look at that mess called humanity. What am I going to do about it? It deserves to be judged and wiped away. I know what I'll do. God said, I'll give the best part of me, my son. And he'll take all that mess on himself which he doesn't deserve, and he'll die for those people that don't deserve it. That's the love of God. And that's the barrier we have as far as in experiencing him, is we have this a sense of love, but not that kind of love that's sacrificial. You know, that's the barrier that's got to come down. And when we find that in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is forbearing, the love of God is able to forgive, all these qualities that are not natural to us on a human plane, they're part of God's nature and God's heart. But as bonds break and we're able to love and one another, that which is unlovable. I think a lot of times we look at people that we have a trouble loving and saying, well, as soon as they become lovable, I'll be okay with this. You may be waiting a long time. No, in learning to have the bond break and going beyond the conflict in that type of love, we're experiencing something of God's heart. You're saying, how can I love something that's disagreeable with you? Well, God did it. We were all disagreeable to him. So we taste a part of God's heart, that grace, that mercy, in how we relate to one another, in learning to bestow honor on that which we consider weak. We're doing something contrary to our own pride, our own religious nature. And in doing so, something is dying within us. And we come to experience who God is and his love, a love that is patient, a love that will put up with weaknesses in others and things we don't like with a forgiving, humble attitude, a love that will accommodate and draw people in when our own human nature wants to push away and make judgments. So ultimately, this whole journey of breaking bonds and learning to relate healthier to one another, what's it about? Coming into oneness with the Father. Because that's what his love was all about. Amen. Let's stand. The relationships we're in, the people you've brought into our life, open our eyes to see what you're doing, what your Spirit is working. We don't want to hold on to bonds, meaning old ways and patterns of relating that are simply holding back the growth and meeting you in the Spirit as you desire right now. We let go, Lord. Make us aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We want to think differently. We want to see things the way you see them. We want to see our brother and sister and the people that you have in our life through your eyes and be able to experience and manifest your love to those in our life. Amen. Okay, bless one another. We're